My
How are you
goodness.
Feeling?
It's good. I'm good. It has been a very busy morning. Been all over the countryside thus far, but it feels good to be seated here talking with you.
The countryside.
The countryside. Yes.
The countryside. That's what I'm going to talk like when I eventually marry Darcy and run away into the mists and just disappear.
Who's Darcy?
You know, like Mr. Darcy. Oh, you've not read Pride and Prejudice.
See? I started it.
Holy shit, okay.
I started it 2 days ago, finally.
Oh!
So yeah, I don't know dick shit about anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then when you do, we can watch the movie.
I look forward because I've never seen it either. I am completely... This was like when I got to read Fight Club when I was in high school. I'd not seen the movie and I'd never heard of the story hardly before. So I got the full fresh twist, bro. And so I'm kind of feeling like I'm going into this like that. A pure virgin, if you will.
Oh. You know, there are people out there who are like, damn, I wish I could experience that for the first time again. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
What is something you truly like you wish you could do all over again and just experience that same feeling of going to, and finding something.
Really. I don't even have to think about it. Oh yeah, no. The first time reading that book was such like a throat gripping experience. Like I miss it. Like I got to relive it a bit just now recently and dive it. But like that, it's a rush when you ride that wave for the first time.
Oh. Ain't nothing like the first time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wish I had a deeper answer, but mine is The Sims.
Hey, I get it. Like,
I still remember. Okay, let me tell you this. Way back when, because that game is what, 23, 22 years old?
It's now? More Jesus. Than two decades now, I think. Yeah.
Holy God. Because it was either 2000 or 2001. I forget. But since we were a Macintosh family, I had to wait for games to come out on the Mac because they would always hit PC first. And if they were a big enough hit, then they'd be like, eh, okay, I guess we'll put the money into it. So, you know, people with Apples can play. Well, my dad was over at his good friend's house and his good friend was like, dude, I got to show you this game I got, you know, and they apparently just had a grand old time because nothing like that existed.
No.
My dad came home and he knew how much I loved shit like Sim Ant and Sim Tower.
Yeah.
And he knew how much of a little god complex I had. So he's like, you're going to lose your shit. He's like, this game. He's like, it's not, he's like, it's, you know, he's like, you know, like Sim City. Well, it's that, but like, it's just The Sims. And I was like, is it people? Can I make people? And I went, the next time we went, and that's all I thought about. I just sat in a room and salivated until the next time my dad went over to his buddy's house and I was like, I'm going. So we went and I just sat there with my eyes as big as dinner plates until somebody was like, okay, fine, get on the computer, you can play. And, I still remember watching my dad's friend, like showing me the ropes and showing me the little dude and the giggling when he like got in the hot tub. And they're like, look, he's naked. They blur it out.
Yeah.
It was a good day.
That's before you, as a child, got to figure out the multitude of ways that you could absolutely murder your Sim with pure creativity.
Yes.
Of just childish, just mischievous evil that only exists in children.
Yeah. Lock them in a room with nothing but a fireplace and a bunch of wicker furniture.
Oh, yeah. Oh, take baby. That pool ladder right out. Fuck that. If they can't figure out how to climb over the side, they don't get that pool ladder.
Yeah. They fixed that. The Sims 4.
Because they used to just really not know how to get up over the side of the pool.
They really were helpless. They were absolutely helpless.
They were.
Wow. Okay. Ooh. But, okay. Listen, welcome to Waba. It's the podcast. We're going to start now, I guess.
Okay. Whoa. Okay. No, that was shit. I was so geared up, ready for one of your little fucking prepared quips that always puts me on my fucking back foot, and that left me wanting.
Exactly. See, that was my point. I had to snatch the rug out every once in a while just to make you realize you want it.
Now I'm all blue balled and sad. So yeah. Hi, I'm Macy and I have blue balls because Charlie gave them to me.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Blue balls.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
What are you talking about today?
I was,
I love this confidence.
Okay. I'm talking to you about Hulandite.
Hulandite?
Hulandite.
Hewler.
H-E-U-L-A-N-D-I-T-E. Hulandite. It's almost like Huel, like a name, but it's not. I picked it purely because it looks like a Rice Krispie treat.
What? Man. I gotta look it up.
Not all of them, but like the right one looks like a buttery Rice Krispie treat.
Hulen. Hulandite.
Hulandite.
Hulan. Oh, I have one of these.
Did you see that? Do you see its buttery goodness? Now, there's different kinds, of course, and different colors. But if you just, you'll just kind of offhandedly see ones that every once in a while that looks real, real edible. And that's the first one I ever saw. And I was like, I don't know what that is, but I got to do it. I can get my hands on it.
They kind of have the generally a bit more beige, but sometimes not. But they've kind of got that that tendy appearance, too, every now and again. Looking like that nug.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. It looks edible in many ways that will disappoint you. What are you talking about today?
I'm talking about one that I double and triple checked and fucking, I hope we've not talked about it, but I don't really know how we've not talked about it. So we might have talked about it, but I'm talking about Emerald.
My dick away? Whoa, really?
Yeah, apparently. I don't know. Seems like it. I searched in Spotify a couple times and like search. And so it's just like, assuming we didn't spell it wrong initially when we published, which is possible.
I mean,
I don't think we've covered it before, but we have misspelled a lot of shit in the title. So who knows, you know? Either way, it's Emerald.
Dude, it makes me think of the one time that, like, we uploaded without having anything written. But since the thing that we use to publish with automatically is, like, sticks in our support the show information.
Oh, my God. Yes.
It looked like we published with nothing but like just support the show.
Just like oh God.
Wow. But you know who does support the show?
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Keeping food in the mouths and clothes on the backs of us. Your girls. Hello. It's us. Mm. It's the problem. It's us.
It's us.
Danielle K. Wait, Patreon shout out segment. Rewind, go back in time. It's our Patreon shout out segment. Today's Patreon is Danielle K. That's the first time you're hearing that.
Okay. All right. Danielle K.
Danielle K.
I don't want to close my eyes.
Whoa.
I don't want to fall asleep because it's Danielle K. And I don't want to miss a thing.
That song used to scare the shit out of me and I wouldn't listen to it.
Because of Armageddon?
Because of Armageddon.
We were the same. We were so the same in that regard. In so many ways.
Terrified.
It was like how I would leave the movie theater for previews for an entire year until 2012 came out because I couldn't watch that trailer because it made me feel like I was going to throw up. So I would always just spend the trailer time in the bathroom until the movie started. Until 2012 came out. Yeah.
Until it was over. I remember that preview ruining many movies for me.
Yeah, it did.
I would go and it would come on, and then for the rest of the movie, yes, I would just sit there and I'd be thinking, oh fuck, is that what it's gonna be like?
Yep.
Is Woody Harrelson gonna tell me all about 2012?
I also completely and with confidence kneed my table when I was singing Steven Tyler. So there's probably a in the middle of it just for everybody.
It's okay. It's ambiance.
So I guess before we get rocking and rolling into topics, we've got a little spawns of the show, repeat spawns of of something that's been going on for a few years that I know several of y'all have also been taking part in for a few years now.
Yes, yes, yes. I love when we get to talk about these because they are always so much fun.
They are fun. Yeah, I like the wordings. I love the diversity of the guests. There's a lot of really great classes going on. And what are we talking about? We are talking about So Mote That Con that is put on by That Witch Life. It's going on October 14th and 15th. Virtual. Virtual. You can do it from anywhere.
Laszlo?
He came out. Channeled. Yes.
Yeah, you can do this from the comfort of your own home. And what are you doing? There's workshops and a raffle and a giveaway. And there's a live ritual. I believe there's two live rituals.
Sweet. Sweet.
And there's just I want to talk about some of these classes that they've got going on because it's always my favorite one. And I have one that is my absolute favorite class name I've ever seen.
Which one is it?
There's a class called Am I Cursed or Is It Just Gas?
That is a valid question. Honestly. Yeah.
And
I
that
love
is
it.
From Diana Rochelle. And we have many classes. Macy, tell us what else we got.
We have several really, really interesting classes and important classes. We have the Soil Remembers, which is hoodoo liberation magic, accessibility magic. There is Freya, the power behind the pinup, which I really like the name of class.
Oh, yeah.
There is Witch's Wisdom Tarot, a different path into magic. What Claire are you? Huh?
Dude, helpful to know.
Helpful to know. Working with water spirits. There is the keynote speaker, Laurel K. Hamilton. So there's all kinds of goodies going on.
It's an action-packed little get-together online, again, from your couch. If you're wanting to do these things, like go and do classes and have community and either expand like a new burgeoning interest in the craft or to like reignite an old flame, we have some registration info for you here. You can get that early bird registration. And that's available until September 29th. And that is your admission to the con. It's the recordings of the actual workshops for 30 days after the conference.
Which that's amazing. That's like worth its weight in gold right there.
Absolutely. Because if you can't attend it live, you can watch it later. But also, even if you were there live, sometimes it's just awe-inspiring to listen to someone talk about something like that they're passionate about and they have prepared for you. And sometimes I just shut everything off and I just listen and watch and then later come back and be like, okay, now I gotta take my notes.
Yeah.
And that also includes one entry for the main raffle.
It's coming up soon, October 14th, October 15th. So Mote That Con, put on by That Witch Live. Get that early bird discount. You got a couple days left by the time this is coming out. And take some classes. Take part in the workshops. And let's all learn something, shall we? It's cool. We got 3 years running. And I know some of y'all have probably been all three years. So that's pretty sweet that we've got some vets. And I'm ready. I need a good workshop. I'm feeling the thirst for the knowledge as the dark half approaches.
I need to know if I'm cursed or if it is
or if it's gas. I love it. I'm so in. So anyway, guys, go on, give it a look. That is thatwitchlife.com. You can read up on SoMote.com. There, see the speakers, read up on their bios, get you some tickets. And anyway, yeah, they're sponsoring the show, or they're a return sponsor of the show. So check out the friends of the show, That Witch Life, SoMote.com. Okay. My mouth has not worked with me all day long.
I
have struggled a lot. Like in my class today, I taught a yoga class this morning, and like it, my left and rights were fucked. And like, I've gotten a lot better with that, but it was constant. Like I just, my, it's a mush mouth day. All right. It is what it is.
Okay. Listen. So, people here listening to this podcast have had to deal with my ass for 5 years. So I'm sure you'll be fine.
We're talking emerald today. Fancy. Fancy.
The Emerald Isle.
And listen, it's a variety of the mineral.
Ah, feck. He's a Grand Shore Egypt. Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
What is that for?
Sorry. That's my Irish.
Oh, did you like it? Oh, I did. It was great. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. It's great.
Because the Emerald Isle. Okay.
Yeah. On. Yeah. Making connections. I get it. I see it. Emerald is a variety of the mineral beryl. B-E-R-Y-L.
That sounds dumb.
I know. And specifically, it's the green variety that gets the colors from inclusions of chromium and vanadium, and or both, seemingly. So we've got some differentiations here that are important, especially if you're looking for emerald and you want you some emerald and you want some true emerald. Damn it, because there's a lot of fakes out there, a lot of misnomers.
Yeah, losers.
There's other varieties of beryl based, and that different inclusions change the color, therefore make it a different stone. So aquamarine is one of these. So
what?
So if we have beryl that has inclusions of a few different, of like some different things that aren't specifically chromium or vanadium or different quantities. Either way, it comes out. Listen, I don't know hardly anything about geology, but it comes out instead of being the deep emerald green that's recognizable, it comes out a little bit more of a blue green. And when that happens, it's aquamarine. So when it's a little yellow, if it's a little yellow green, kind of turns out a little, you know, more the yellowy green, it's heliodore. And apparently, if it's a little pinkish, if it's got some other inclusions that make it pink, but it's still this beryl base, it's morganite. So you get different ones that kind of depend on the inclusions. And extremely rarely, you have red beryl, which my brain immediately turned into red baron. Like, it didn't even, it papered over beryl and just said red baron.
Oh.
Yeah.
I could go for a red baron.
I could always go for a red baron pizza.
Oh,
bro.
My God. Some hot sauce, baby.
So where does emerald form? How does it form? It forms in hydrothermal veins. And these things are called pegmatites. And I think that's a really silly word, but it is what it is. And a pegmatite.
I'm sorry. One more time.
Pegmatite.
I thought you said pegmatite, and I was like, that, yeah.
It is pegmatite. It's like peg-me-tite, oh! But pegmatite. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm too much of a child to read this word.
I was so removed from the fact that that could possibly be it. I was like, yeah. Oh, she's saying hegmatite or something lame. Pegmatite?
Pegmatite.
Fuck yeah, let's go.
Yeah, hell yeah. And it's a pegmatite is, it's an igneous rock with a really coarse texture with large interlocking crystals in it. So think kind of similar to granite. So we're talking like a rough thing like that. They're oftentimes, pegmatites are composed of quartz, feldspar, and mica. It seems they have like a silica inclusion, or like a, it has a composition that is, has a lot of silica in it, silicic, similar to granite as well. So you get a pegmatite when magma cools, leaving some elements behind in the remaining fluid. And emerald crystals can grow when the remaining solution cools, as long as the necessary goodies are present, including beryllium, which is where you get the beryl name. And emeralds can form in veins in the crust from hot liquids that escape, like, you know, down deeper in the earth. Oh. Oftentimes, emeralds are found in schist rock, which was absolutely a way that my classmates would, like, try to swear under the radar in middle school, 110%. But it's actually just, it's a kind of a dusty rock, and it can sometimes have emeralds in it. Especially, it seems, from what I was reading on a mining site in Australia, that can happen in Australia. And so, but also in other places. It's cool with schist. And however, you gotta have the goodies there. Like, and see, I had this whole chunk here that should have been up at the top that really explained what was needed to make the aquamarine and all of that. But listen, we already did this once, and so I'm moving by it. And apparently, especially okay. in the US, there is disagreement, I don't think is the right word here, but there's a bit more discrepancy on what is considered emerald. And, you know, sometimes it's just called green beryl. And green beryl is when it's not the deep, deep saturated green, right? Like, you see it and you're like, that's emerald.
It's so strange to me to refer to emerald, like, oh, we got to give it another name. That's too good. Okay.
It's green beryl. And green beryl, though, is considered not to be emerald. That it is not, it's not true because it's, you know, more in the faded kind of, not quite as saturated. Some say that if it has chromium in it at all, it's an emerald, which can run the gamut of different shades, if that's the case of green. So you get some disagreement there. Sometimes it's like, no, it needs to be that rich shit, healthy green, you know? And if it's not that, it's not that, it's not for me. If it's not that, it's not, it's green beryl. Okay. We're not, that's not emerald. So I don't
sure.
know. I don't know.
Rock scientists.
And in fact, emerald, ruby, and sapphire make up the big three in the gem world. And their value together exceeds all of the other colorful stones combined in value. They're the big boys. And like
the ones that like walk by on campus and everybody goes, who are they?
Yeah, they like rock up in their fucking like T-bird, you know, and like whoa. Get out and like with their fucking jackets on, and they all match and they look cool. That's wow. That's them.
They're the pink ladies.
They are. They're serious business. So here's a little statistic for you from geology.com. Oh. In 2015, the value of emeralds imported into the United States exceeded the value of all colored stones outside of the big three combined. Just emeralds. Only emeralds. Wow.
I love an emerald.
Which, like they're also the most valuable out of the three. So it seemed that it was emerald, sapphire, and ruby, which surprised me. I figured ruby might have been higher.
I was just going to say, I figure for some reason I thought ruby would be like the big one.
Yeah, I did too. So my chart didn't it. I had a whole data chart that showed the value. So it was supposed to show up here and it's not here. So I hope that I'm right on that, that it is emeralds. I'm pretty sure it is. So when it comes to the durability, on paper, it would seem that emerald is maybe better than it is. One, it's in a hexagonal structure oftentimes. Well, and this is when it forms naturally. In its raw form, it's oftentimes in those like hexagonal pillar type shapes. And a hexagon's a strong shape. But on paper, it's got a hardness of like 7.5, which you're like, oh, damn, like that's decently pretty hard. But oftentimes, emerald is full of little inclusions, cracks, little things all throughout it that make it brittle and make it so that even though, like, technically it has that hardness, it has so many little inclusions and things in it like that, that it will break potentially pretty easily. And so it's pretty brittle. And to help with this, oftentimes cut stones are sealed and treated with things such as oils or waxes, polymers, or other things to help kind of make the fractures less obvious. But they don't actually help with the durability. They're just kind of like coating it and sealing it so that it looks shiny on the outside. And this is actually, from what I could tell, and some of them even have these strange, I didn't get down the name, but these little like small little blurry bits in them. And it seems that these little things are actually what you want to see, because that's how you know you have an authentic emerald, is when you see these little imperfections and little cracks or whatever, nicks and things like that. You look at, or that little blur patch that you might see, you're like, okay, yeah, this is a real emerald, like when you put it under a lens and look at it.
So not like a diamond where you're striving for perfect clarity.
You're not really going to get perfect clarity. It seems like to the naked eye, you might. But when you really get down there and look at it, it's going to be full of little unique things that make it obviously what it is, or they show what it is, but they do also make it much more fragile, which is why these are often set in emerald is a gemstone. It is set in things, commonly earrings and pendants, just because, and rings, of course, too, but rings get knocked around a bit more, so rings might not last as long. But oftentimes your emerald pieces also aren't being worn every day either. And that's probably okay, because it seems they, if they get dropped, they can shatter, they can fade. It's just a pretty delicate gemstone. And that's not to say you can't have heirloom pieces passed down and down and down. It's just you're not usually throwing on your emerald jewelry to like go to the grocery store. So it's just not dusted off as often.
That feels like unhinged behavior.
I would be so paranoid. Like, did I ever tell you about the time I wore my mom's opal earrings to a public pool?
No.
It was like the most, and this is, I was so stressed, and I went to a public, and public pools are big. And we went, and for some reason I was wearing, I don't know if we did something earlier that day, but I was wearing this really pretty pair of opal studs, teardrop little studs. And I remember, and you know, your kid brain just doesn't sort shit out. Like, it doesn't think about things. Because I remember I was like a water kid. So I was like swimming, you know? And at this time I was maybe like 7 and like jumping off the diving board. And then every time I would be underwater, I would panic, reach up and like check both earlobes. Instead of like just taking them out and being like, here, mom, can you like hold these? I was like, I shouldn't be having these on. And so I just suffered through it in paranoia, even though she would have just been like, oh, hey, thank you for remembering. I like worked it up. And then I spent the whole 2 hours at the pool just being a nervous wreck.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But that would be me if I wore it the whole time. I would be like, is the clasp still good? Is it on my body? Did I drop it? Did it fall off anywhere? Like, I can't emotionally take it.
A deeply serious child.
Yeah. Yes. From birth. And so today, it seems most emerald production originates in 4 big countries: Colombia, Zambia. I have 5 here: Brazil, Ethiopia, and Zimbabwe. I don't know what happened there. But it goes way back in history. Emerald has long been appreciated by humans across the globe, and. And
it's very Aquarian of you.
Very, what? Who? Me?
Yeah.
What did I do?
Emerald is appreciated by humans. No,
I don't even hear it anymore. It doesn't even, doesn't even register to me anymore. I'm slipping. So we'll wheel on back to ancient Egypt. Because they loved their emeralds. They mined emeralds, held them in high esteem. Pharaohs wore emeralds. It seemed for a time, at least, only they could wear emeralds. And they were often buried with them as well. They symbolized eternal life. And green, they were the very rich, earthy, fertile green. Because we can recall the green and the blue. I always think of the whatever one that you talked about, how they would do their eyes with stuff that we now know is probably toxic, but like they would crunch up the minerals and do their under eye and top eye and like green and blue. And that's
crunch, crunch, crunch.
So cool. They would be carved into talismans as well, the shapes of scarabs, which forever I am ruined as a child of the 90s and aughts. I can just only think of the 1999 cinematic classic, The Mummy, when it comes to scarabs. I'm ruined.
And not Billy Zane.
Not Billy Zane.
Okay. Great.
Is Billy Zane in The Mummy?
No.
Okay. I was really breaking down.
That was a treat for me. No, we talked about a while back, I guess it was just the bald head and I'm a kid and, you know, not observant at the time. And I was just like, oh, it's a bald guy. It's Billy Zane.
Emotep.
Yes.
Got it. Yeah. Got it. Okay. Okay. That makes sense. So spreading from Egypt, it went to the Greeks and the Romans. And there was a value and esteem held towards emeralds. Rings, earrings, and other settings were used. And there still are specimens that survived. You can see examples of this. I was looking at pictures of one like Roman ring that had like these little sea pearls with like an emerald in the center. It looked very pretty. And it still lived, even though they're delicate. And so you can find museums and whatnot of this. And what's cool about emerald is that it has such a long history in different cultures over the world. You see it incorporated into stylistic jewelry in so many different ways as well, even in like the same areas just over time. Influences come and go, and emerald has been shaped and set and done in so many different ways, and it's really cool to see how it was utilized. So apparently, and we've just got some history for you. In 1363, Edward III of England released the Statute de Victu et Vestitu. And it decreed that craftsmen and their wives and children were not allowed to wear gold and silver anymore. Too fucking bad.
What?
Knights, apparently, were not allowed to wear rings or brooches made of gold or set with precious stones. And that one was odd to me because I thought oftentimes knights were nobility. I don't know. It said only merchants, owners of land, and their families were allowed to wear clothes and headdresses and shit adorned with silver and precious stones. So there was like rules released of like what class you were and whether or not you could wear certain metals and stones. But in court, when we're talking about the royal court, that court was literally crusted. It was fucking dripping, like flaunted everywhere. Women would have their hair secured to their head with entirely jeweled hairnets. Men were super glitzed up. Tons of jewelry, tons and tons of jewelry, necklaces, jewel encrusted belts, which, come on now, badass. But also because Kushiel's dart is my Roman Empire, I'm like, you know, they spanked each other with them jewel-encrusted belts and probably hurt a little bit. But
those
they totally
crusty,
did it.
Them crusty belts?
I know that they did. And of course, no regular people could afford this. And if they could, they weren't allowed to wear them, some of them. So this was a great way to flaunt who and what you were because, ew, I'm not a whore. Look at my jeweled hairnet. And
look at my crusty belt.
Yeah, it's better than Marsha's over there, that tacky bitch. So you could really flaunt.
Marsh.
And
loser.
But let's get to the Renaissance, if we may. And during this time, gemstone skills improve when it comes to the setting and cutting And jewelry really takes off here. You get an influx of emeralds that were plundered from the New World because indigenous peoples of Mesoamerica, including the Incan people, had been using emeralds for a very long time by this point. And then, you know, so Spain bucked up and was like, oh, I'll take these. Thank you very much. Enjoy your disease. We're going to head out. And I did see one source that said the Spanish traded with the Incans. And I was like, sure.
Yeah, they traded syphilis.
Yeah, okay.
We'll give you syphilis. You give us your emeralds.
Yes, traded with force. And this changes a bit.
I'll trade you some death and pillaging.
Trade you this to where you do it or you get a mouthful of sword. Take your pick. Or gun.
Jesus Christ.
And this changes a bit with the 17th century as the stifling stiff dresses, overage of drip jewelry hanging from everywhere, kind of begin to fall out of style as more comfortable, softer gowns. And don't worry, we come back to it. You know, kind of, and simpler jewelry pieces were being selected rather than the whole fucking jewelry cabinet, as was the case previously. And this is when, and God damn it, I knew there was something that I meant to look up the pronunciation of, but it looks like chatelaines became popular. And those are those sweet ass dangly things that attach to your belt. You know, the ones, and they were like, they had like scissors and maybe like a mirror and your keys and your sewing purse. Yeah. And like maybe even a sweet little teeny tiny, like 1.5-2 inch knife. And, you know, like all it was like, basically, you know what it reminds me of? It's like the ladies equivalent of a Texas homecoming mom, but like on your hip. And full of jingly little goodies that you
and full of murder tools.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe it's got a locket or two on there, some sewing supplies, little household things that you might need. And I don't know if there were emeralds in these as much. I just wanted to talk about them because they came up in the timeline that I was covering of emerald jewelry. And I was like, these things are so fucking awesome. I need to cover them as a topic because you tell me they're witchy as hell. They're awesome.
No, you know, people are hiding some herbs and shit in there. Oh my
God, dude.
Come on.
And so then we hit full on Victorian era and the drip is back in full.
Oh God.
And you best believe, like seemingly every other gemstone we talk about, Queen Victoria was into them and had a hell of a collection of emeralds.
Yeah,
and
she did.
During this era, the metalwork and settings became more intricate, featuring stacks or, you know, these really rounded settings, those real like Victorian jewelry shapes that you kind of come to recognize. It just very grand, I feel. And in fact, there's a very famous emerald artifact from Queen Victoria's stash, and it's her emerald and diamond diadem, which was designed for her by Prince Albert. Wink. And she wrote in her journals how much she appreciated it. Because he also, I think it was a matching earring and necklace set that either came a year later or first, I don't recall, but she had like a matching emerald diadem that matched like earrings and a necklace. All it sounds so fucking sweet. And so there is history of emeralds being used in India. And although indigenous Indian kingdoms had strong jewelry traditions of their own, a very recognized style that is that really had a deep influence was developed from actually like foreign conquerors called the Mughals. And during this period called the Mughal period, it's from 1504 to 1707, it seems that you get an inclusion of style here because the Muslim imperial courts ruled in northern India, and there was a lot of opulence involved in jewels and settings. And Mughal jewelry mixes all kinds of different colorful stones together in these elaborate patterns, almost like mosaic, but not fitted like that, but like just these really pretty patterns. And color groupings such as red, green, and white were really, and they were really enjoyed. So you had rubies and emeralds and diamonds and pearls predominantly being used. I looked up pictures of it. It's really pretty.
Christmassy.
So, in short, emeralds were all over the place. And especially like when it came to the aristocracy and so many countries, like they had always been held in high esteem. Like, so the all of the emeralds that came from the Incan people to Spain for the longest time, like only the royal family were using those emeralds, were allowed to wear those emeralds. And like, you know, so it was just like, they were very, it was long since tied with like, I mean, again, only the pharaohs were wearing emeralds.
I'm like special.
It is like, yeah, royal special shit all the time throughout history and all over the world. So there's always been something that has been held in high esteem and value and spiritual meaning. So let's get to the spiritual meaning. And let's do so with a guest back again 2 weeks in a row and really on brand today. Because Rome's Pliny the Elder described emerald and his natural history. So his natural history published in the first century AD, he wrote, "Nothing green's greener." Which is really great and concise. Big fan of that. But he's not done. He's not done, Charlie. He has more to say. Are you ready for it?
Are we talking snakes? Are there going to be snakes?
There is no better method of restoring their eyes than by looking at the emerald. It's always
Why is he obsessed with the eyes?
It's always the eyes.
At least you don't have to rub it on your eye. You can just look at it.
You can just look at it. And in fact, Roman Emperor Nero, crazy, evil, fucking, mean, scary, murderous Nero, reportedly would watch gladiator games through large emerald gemstones.
That's so stupid.
He found, and imagine this, imagine hearing this being said. So you're in the Colosseum in your special box, okay? You're Emperor Nero.
I'm in my special box.
You are fucking crazy. And you're up in your box, and you are watching civilians being torn apart by lions, right? And you have a big green, like, concave emerald that you are looking through, and you are doing so because you say, "Oh, I just love this. This color is so calming." As you are watching complete dismantling of body parts down below.
You know what else is calm? Dude.
Touch grass.
Yeah. Maybe it's calming to not make a spectacle of murdering people.
That's just
pretty calming.
Nero is wild. Like, just bananas. And the rich color green has long been associated, or it associates emerald with fertility, vitality, and rebirth. And interestingly, it was one of those that had like the superstition around it, kind of like, if the color fades, then your love isn't being true or something. But the problem is like emerald famously fades easy and can break easy. So it's kind of like, yikes. You know, I wonder how many people got
so everyone's like, where the fuck have you been?
Yeah, exactly. But emerald is a stone of love. Love, like through and through. It was honestly hard to fill out this metaphysical section to not just be like love and Finn. That's it. So it's a stone of the heart, and it aids in healing work.
A total stone of the heart,
and
turn around, emerald eyes.
It is. So it just makes me think of Nero. Like, he's just got his little. Dude, what if he had like a sweet pair of like round emerald glasses, like some linen style, and to like kick back and watch the games wearing like some rounded emerald slice glasses?
Or like those cool opera theater glass, like things that you
gotta hold it so you look super like, yeah, that's totally what, get it in there. It's apparently good for your eyes, according to Pliny.
If you do look at it, it restores the eye. Look, just look.
Just look at it.
You go to the eye doctor and they're like, just look, look at that thing. Better.
All right, that's $8,000 because this is America.
Yeah, yeah.
So Emerald is all about that. You gotta love yourself. You gotta love yourself before you go trying to love other people. You gotta get yourself some love, and it's all about it. And it is tied to the lushness of nature, the deep green of promising growth. New beginnings, the power of green. So, Indian folklore states that the word emerald is derived from the Sanskrit marakata, which is, or translates to, the green of things that grow. I'm going to be real with you. The etymology of emerald is nuts. Very confusing. I couldn't really fit, because there's a lot of different ones, and I couldn't really piece together the order of them. But there's a lot of steps to getting to the word emerald. And
love it.
When it comes to deity associations, we have Venus and or Aphrodite associated with the emerald, which makes sense considering this stone's love city, bro. It's all about that love. Emeralds are reported to be a good source of, if you like working with color magic and you like working with like the energy wave of colors, emerald apparently is like green. It's pure green color.
I could see that. It's very green.
It's just green color energy, like in pure form. So working with emerald is a nice, pure way to work with green as an energy healing. And a concept. Yes.
Love.
Yep. And growth, which means also a little bit of that money, bitch, if you want some money. So if you've got an emerald piece, maybe it's been passed down or not, put that dude either on or amongst your spell work. If you're doing like a little money magic spell, throw your emeralds on, because it's all about that abundance and growth. And fertility is a biggie here. Like a decently big biggie. I mean, we're talking like earthy green here. And of course, that doesn't have to mean like the baby making variety. Though, if you want to get it on, like only wearing your glamorous emeralds, that's tight too.
Oh my God.
Like that's pretty fucking sweet.
You want to get that crusty emerald belt out?
Oh, yeah, bro. Yeah, that's what that's for. It's the fertility belt. And so emeralds show up in the Bible a couple few times at least, being one of the stones gifted from God to King Solomon. And emerald is also one of the 12 sacred gemstones mentioned in Revelations, which is the most metal chapter of the Bible by far.
You want to get to the shit real quick? You want to like jump to the ending?
And you just need to read every bit of it like this. And the fourth horse was death. Oh, it's so fucking sweet.
You know what you sound like when you... Who? You know what all I can... You know that episode of Metalocalypse where Toki goes evil?
I want to be a demon.
You sound just like that.
So, emerald is also tied to psychic powers. And your multitude of clairs, if you will, talking that... What Claire are you workshop? So mote that con.
Well,
call back
you.
To the ad coming up. And it could perhaps be worn to aid in this process. Now, I couldn't. This was one of those things that I saw a lot of. It's good for psychic. Oh, like it's good for psychic work. And I couldn't find a whole lot of why here. But it got me thinking.
Okay.
I was like, I wonder if it's about the eyes. And I wonder if it's about this gets into the third eye and it scrubs it clean, too. I don't know.
Oh, you got to look at it with your third eye.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so I was like, maybe that's why it's got like the psychic opening thing, because it's scrubbing clean your invisible eye. I don't know. That's my theory. Don't know if it's true.
Electric eye.
infiltrate, storm the gate!
Storm the gate!
Really hard to, again, just go on about emeralds without just keep saying the word love over and over again, because that's so largely it love. With the self-love, romantic love, love of the natural world, but love all the same. But this is a stone of green things. So if you're doing green magic, earth magic, green Samwise witchcraft, Genji. Whatever you like. Whatever you like to call it. Working with the earth, wanting to incorporate the earth element. You get what I'm saying? All these earthy things. You can wear your emerald piece to heighten that energy. And of course, you can incorporate raw emerald into your practice. There are raw emerald beads. You can get malas that include raw emeralds, such as one that I have that was sent from Pazanka Blossom Malas. It's got little green emerald tasties all in it. And if you don't utilize malas, the beads can be made into bracelets, anklets. They're beads. You can put them anywhere you want.
They're beads.
They're
put
beads.
Them up your butt.
And but you're infusing whatever you attach the beads to with that green energy, that's loving emerald green energy. Maybe you make some cute little friendship bracelets, some cute little growth and prosperity friendship bracelets, and you can both wear them. And every time you wear them, you're like, I love you, and you're like, I love you too. We're friends, and it's because of your emerald beads. So you've got options.
You're going into business with your friend.
Yeah, get you some pieces, some matching little emerald pieces.
We need matching emerald pieces, Maisie.
We do need matching emerald pieces. The raw beads are they're more affordable, and we need to do something with that. And you can also find some
raw emerald. I don't know if I've seen these.
It looks different.
It really does.
And I think there's a difference too, because there's raw gemstone quality emerald and raw emerald. You know, and so I think like a lot of the raw chunks that you get made into beads are not gem quality emerald. They're the more opaque.
The first thing is, why is raw emerald so cheap?
Yeah, I think it's just this isn't nice enough to be a gemstone. So we can still say it's emerald though. And you can find little raw pieces. You can find some little chunks of emerald if you want like a little nug to use. And be sure that you're buying legitimate. Check your sources, because emerald is a good one to have a lot of deception with. I saw a listing online that was like intentionally misleading. Like it said like how did they word the title? It was just like green emerald crystal or something like that. And I clicked on it and like read the description, and it was like, this is green quartz. And it's like, you fuckers.
But like, because emerald is also a color, it seems easy to be like, well, yeah, it is emerald. It's an emerald quartz.
Yes. And so because of that, it's like, it's a descriptive word. It's good. Know your little crystal buying sources and know what you are getting. But throw you some emerald into the mix. Or if anybody has some sweet ass like heirloom emerald pieces, I would love to see them. Because I just love emerald. There's also, and I didn't go into it much, there is, of course, synthetic emerald, lab emerald that is made, but that's more of a newer thing, so I didn't really touch on that very much. But that is something that you might want to distinguish between on if you are getting earth emerald or synthetic lab-grown emerald, if you care. But there you might see
those. Did you say manure thing?
It's a newer thing. Then like,
bro, I thought he meant like they made emeralds out of cow shit.
No, but wouldn't that be sweet?
Yeah, I'd have it. Maisie, you know how you were talking earlier about how sometimes it's, you know, sometimes you don't want the whole gaudy crusted belt. Sometimes you don't want the loud in your face. Sometimes you want minimalist jewelry for powerful witches. Where could I find that?
You can find that in many whole different options, little shapes, symbols, forms, jewelry, the like. You can find that at blessedbemagic.com. And listen, I'm talking earrings. I'm talking bracelets. I'm talking anklets. I'm talking pendants. I'm talking rings. I'm talking all of it. All of it.
Yeah. And if you go to the what's new section, because you've heard us say before, every time you go, there's you're like 90% sure to get some newness. Pretty fresh, likely. Hot newness.
Yeah.
Listen here. Check out that witch's knot collection. We've got bracelets and rings and necklaces. I almost forgot the word for necklace. It's literally just neck lace. But my particular favorite is the witch's knot moonstone necklace, yep. Because it's got those two little I don't know the word, stiff bits that make it so pretty.
Yes, the stiff bits. That is the term. That's the industry term. Yes. And we've talked about so many things in our tales, our love of Blessed Be Magic. We've got the new anklet collection. We've got a Lilith and a Hecate anklet. If you're an anklet person and you like having an anklet lace on you and you like to do that and show it off with your little sandals, you can get you one of Lilith, which is awesome.
That is tight for your ankles.
Oh, it's awesome. And you know what? Maybe you're not an ankle person. Maybe if you have them, you know, maybe you don't even have ankles. Maybe you're like, well, Listen, Macy, I don't have ankles. You can get the mini studs, the little sweet mini studs. And there's 1,000 different little symbols that you can get. There's not actually 1,000, but like there's a bunch. And you can.
There's a
lot.
Can
really.
Listen,
explore.
You can shop by collection, and just to name a few, here's some of the collections we've got. We've got Lilith, Hecate's Wheel. We've got the whole Zodiac. We've got Celtic stuff. We have Evil Eye stuff. We have Norse witchcraft. We have the Eye of Horus. Did I say that twice? I might have said that twice. And then also, there's the animal collection.
Yeah, and I love it because those are your little charms, and you can make a whole big three charm necklace, and it's the best. So, guys, give Blessed Be Magic a look. Listen, you like silver, you like gold, you like rose gold, it doesn't matter. They've got them all. Give them a look. And you guys,
the beans,
get 15% off of your order with the code, one word, all caps, witch bitch. 15. Fat 15.
Are you telling me, Charlie, yes. Michelle, I can go, and I guess everyone listening too, whatever, can go to blessedbemagic.com and get broom closet friendly, tasteful, powerful talismans for 15% off.
15% off, bro.
Using code witchbitch. I don't know. Sounds too good to be true.
It's not, Charlie.
Thanks.
And y'all can go one more time. That is blessedbemagic.com. Get you that 15% off. Witch bitch is the code, all caps. Get you something nice.
And thank you to Blessed Be Magic for sponsoring this part of the episode. I almost forgot how to pronounce my stone again. It's Hewlendite.
Hewlendite.
It's not even
Hewlendite.
It's not even particularly hard or spelled weird. I cannot commit it to memory because it's one of those words that on paper I looked at and I was like, Helen Keller, you know, and like just immediately my brain filled something else in.
Mm-hmm.
Just like
mm-hmm.
I'll never see Hermione as Hermione. It'll always be Hermione.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. I feel you on that. Yeah.
Hewlendite. Listen, Hewlendite. We got a stone. A crispy little stone. Mm. It's a member of the zeolite group. And it was named after someone named Henry Hewland.
Of course it was. Of course it was.
But like, here's the thing. This guy, not even like related to the gym world, not in the gym world at all. He was a lawyer, and he just had like his own personal hobby was collecting minerals.
Okay, anyway, All right. We'll get That's not the norm, but okay.
At first you're like, oh, it's just one of these dudes that names this shit after himself. But it gets a little strange. But let's talk the chemical composition. So hulandite is what they call a hydrated sodium calcium aluminum silicate. And hydrated means that there is water molecules within this stone. So it's a wet boy. They typically form in what they call sheaf-like or fan shape structures, which you can see when they really get a chance to grow out. They do kind of fan out. They also kind of look like a druzy. They kind of have that appearance. They're kind of crusty.
Love that.
Listen here, as described, they're perfect cleavage, first of all. Their perfect cleavage exhibits a pearly luster.
Oh, hot.
Isn't it nice? Feels like something went on there.
Yeah, I like, somebody had fun with that. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The perfect cleavage exhibits a pearly luster.
So we're talking about coming on tits, right?
We're talking about a pearl necklace.
Okay. All right. They just wrote it academically, but yes. Okay.
I know we talk about this all the time. Tell me these rock nerds aren't fucking perverts.
A lot of these scientists are.
All nerds. Everyone. So hulandite. It originates from volcanic activity, so it is commonly found near these hydrothermal, mineral deposits, and it can come in a range of color, not a huge range, but we've got colorless, white, which I thought was, I don't know, pink, brown, and green. Green being my favorite. Of all of these, it looks very mossy and kind of like a teeny tiny little rolling hill. But most commonly you are going to see that white or that colorless. You know how sometimes a quartz can look kind of dirty? That's sort of what we're talking, like that kind of creamy color.
Yeah. The one that I have is kind of like that creamy pink, you know?
Yeah. Oh, do you have a hulandite?
Yeah. I didn't know I did until I looked it up, but I have one. It was in one of the collections I got at the gym show.
Nice. So you can find them at the gym show, but also you can find them in other parts around the world, including India, the United States, Iceland, Scotland, and Italy. Which is so weird to me how you can just like, I guess they just happen at the right thing, at the right thermodynamic, whatever is going on in the earth. But like, to me, it just feels like a random scattering of places.
Yeah. And did you say that's it, or that's like the big places?
Those are the big ones. Yeah. Okay. There's some other regions, but those are the mostly where they come from. And I believe now it is mostly India, if we're talking about the ones that are still being, mined, and that's like the major producer of this stone. And speaking of mining, this stone needs to be extracted usually by hand, using very basic tools to be careful, because it needs to be separated from other stones, and it like grows intertwined to other stones and other rocks. So it needs to be separated by hand.
That actually really tracks, because the collection that I got from the gym show was from India, and it was collections of rock specimens that were byproducts of things being intentionally mined.
Hey!
So it was from India, and it was like a byproduct of like it accidentally got mined, and so they just packaged it up in this collection instead.
Yeah. And that is where a lot of this comes from, is they'll be mining other things, and then they'll just be like, here's some fucking hulandite. Somebody pick that out. But it caught on for its aesthetic appeal, And it became sought after because of these attractive formations that they have, where you can easily see these displayed, especially when they get really big. And like I said, they're allowed to like grow out. And there are applications where people wear this like on jewelry. However, again, sort of like a druzy, it's not going to be like polished down into a little tiny stone. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like a chunk of the rough thing.
Yeah.
However, there are industrial applications, and this I thought was hella interesting. So, due to its porous structure, it has these ion exchange properties. So, this stone is employed in water softening, wastewater treatment, and it also serves as a catalyst in various chemical processes, including molecular sieving, water purification. So, that's interesting to me. This is a whetstone in a lot of ways. It's got water in it. It helps to purify and like sieve water to clean it, in an industrial kind of complex sort of way. It also has the ability to absorb, stuff around it. So it can help to neutralize, think like baking soda or something like that, because it's so porous and because of the water content and that ion exchange property and all of this. This is a good stone for absorbing toxins.
Yeah.
And I mean that and I don't mean the toxin in like a quotation way, like, you know, toxins in your body. I mean like poisons and things.
Okay.
Not probably to the layman, but used again in a controlled kind of way, but also to neutralize odors, which I thought, hey, that's handy. But
yeah, how? Soaks them up. It just slurps up the odors.
Yeah, huh. Sucks them up.
Whoa!
It'll just kind of just get stinky. It's just gonna smell like the room it was in, I guess. No. But I do believe it sort of. Sort of like your salt rock situation, you know, like your salt rock will kind of do the same thing. It kind of takes a stinky odor, but it doesn't stay stinky itself long because it transforms it. It deodorizes. Mm. However, so let's see. Okay, let me see. You talked about that. They are sensitive to heat. They need to be protected from high temperatures, which is strange because they are formed in very high temperatures. But if they get too hot, they will lose that water content that they have inside of them, and thus they will lose their structural integrity. So if these stones get too hot, they will literally crumble apart.
That's so pitiful.
Me. It's me.
That's very pitiful. I do get that, because when I'm thirsty, it's all over for me.
Yeah. You just crumple into the ground. Water! Mm. Like SpongeBob when he
That's
says
Sandy's. That's me. I can't handle it. If I go 30 minutes without a sip of water, I start to give out.
I know. I've been in a car with you when you were very, very thirsty.
It's not good.
You just began to wither. You're like, what's that really dramatic plant?
Like nerve plants. That's what I feel like. And I don't like to outwardly just complain a bunch, but if I'm thirsty, I will nonstop complain. I will complain about it until it's resolved.
you're like Aquarian skin starts to crack and fall off.
It truly does. I'm like a reptile. I'm like a salamander. I need to be moistened or I'm gonna die. Yeah, I can't take it.
You're like that skin thing from Doctor Who. Just every once in a while, just moisturize me.
Like Cassandra? I only know that because that's what the name of my pellicle is now for my kombucha, because somebody suggested it and I didn't know who she was. And then I looked her up and I was like, holy shit. That's exactly what that is. Yeah. So it's Cassandra.
It looks very, very fleshy. Ew. Mm-hmm. So, we've got Hulandite's history. So the discovery dates back to the late 18th century. So kind of a newbie on the scene. It was initially named Ezualite because, hold on. I just wrote, it was named Ezulite due to its beauty, but was later renamed. So I don't know what that meant. But was later renamed Hulandite by someone with the last name of Brooke. So it was not this person naming it after themselves.
Oh.
But in 1822, they named it in honor of John Henry Hewland, a prominent mineral collector. Not a scientist, not like into
the attorney,
just liked
right?
Him a lot. The attorney.
Okay.
John Henry Hewland, Esquire. Yes.
Attorney at law.
So it was named after him. The mineral was originally found in the Faroe Islands, which is a little, what do they call it? An archipelago?
Archipelago?
How do you? Archipelago?
I think it's archipelago, but I'm not for certain.
I think it's Limbago. Limbago. Okay.
Key Largo? Sure.
Winnebago. Did you say the rapture?
I said Key Largo. No.
Oh. I don't know. It kind of glitched in my head, in my cans for a second. I thought you just went the rapture.
Yeah. The rapture. Yeah.
That was intense. But yeah, it's the little Archie comics out there in the North Atlantic Ocean. But since then, it has been discovered worldwide in those places that I have listed previously. So, sometimes I write the stupidest shit in my notes, and I swear at the moment, I'm like, yeah, this is really going to hit. But then when I get there, I'm just like, this mineral's been studied extensively, and it's good. It happens a lot in nature, and people like it. So there were some historical mineral collections and museums that still house Hulandite, the like original Hulandite specimens from the 18th and 19th century. And now it's sort of like a testament because they were Mr. Hewland got his hands on these himself.
Mm.
You know, he was ever the gym enthusiast. And when he was like, you've named a rock after me.
Oh, so he was still alive when it was named after him.
And he, and then now they're in a goddamn museum. So,
well, look at that.
I have magical associations.
What does that go to show you? Be an avid collector. Who cares what it is? And you might get something named after you.
Be into your thing. Be really, really into your thing. And they might do something for you. I don't know. They might not. Who cares? I just made myself sad because I was like thinking of people who are really into things. And have you ever heard of, I might say her name wrong. I'm so sorry if I do. I believe it's Sherry Curry or Shirley Curry. She is this, I think, 90 something year old woman who plays Skyrim on YouTube.
I have heard of this woman.
Yeah, she's the Skyrim. She's like, everyone's like Skyrim grandma. And she makes these stories. And she's just, it's just pleasant. It's just pleasant. And she loves the game. And she goes on little walks. And she makes little stories up. And it's just great. It's a great fucking time. But I made myself sad because she was like, I really hope that they come out with the next one before I die.
Holy shit. Honestly, now, though, like Bethesda, you better get on that because that's a good fan. Like,
that should put a little gas in your tank. Come
on. For real.
Fucking out here jacking off with Starfield. Get out of here. Anyway.
I wonder if she's playing Starfield.
What?
I wonder if she's playing Starfield.
Oh. Somebody is right now, probably, as they listen to this.
Oh, for sure. It's just interesting to think. Cool. I'm like, I wonder if she's got, like, did she need to get the better computer and all that dog shit that you're apparently having to get? And, like, did she do it? I'm curious about her. I wonder if she did.
You know what? If they don't send that woman everything she needs.
Dude, for real.
I will riot. Anyway. Fuck, we talked about her, so we're going to find out she's a cannibal. Shit.
As is the rule.
As is tradition. Magical associations. Mm. Here we go. Spiritual growth and healing. Believed to aid in spiritual growth, helping you release negative emotions, past traumas and associated feel bads from those, and blockages that you have in your way for your personal growth. I think of this as it's sucking up your stink and spitting it back out in a better way. It's that ion transfer. It's taking all this grody shit, your negative miasma and your blocks. It's sucking it up, and then it's spitting back raw potential.
Nice.
You can also use this to explore your past lives. Full stop. Couldn't find any other information on that. Just
good.
Full,
sometimes just you get one sentence copy and pasted over and over and over on 30 damn websites.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then you try to look into the why of it all, and you just get the sentence thrown back at you even louder.
Yes.
But in that vein, there is a lot of stuff like that about your past lives. There's healing karmic ties to help heal these karmic situations, break free of repetitive cycles. it can be helped to, or it can help to align our, you know, energy centers if we're a little out of whack in one department or another, kind of help us get back on track. Mm. Dream work. If placed under your pillow, for some reason, every single time I found that this could be done, could be used in dream work, it was specified to place it under your pillow. Now, sometimes, if we're talking dream work, putting it on your nightstand is just fine. Putting it under the bed, just fine. This one, no, you got to sleep on a chunky rock.
I was fixing to say, this is a chunky rock.
Yeah. So you got to be really.
I think I'm just going to put it on my nightstand.
I'm going to strap it to my forehead and blast off.
You're like, y'all want it close to my fucking head? I'll show you. I'll get it right on my goddamn third eye.
Yeah. You're never heard from again.
You just apparate somewhere else.
Yeah. There's no trace of you ever existing. if you use the stone during meditation, it will help to deepen your relaxation and thus facilitate a connection with the higher state that you were trying to get to when we meditate. It is an aura cleanser, which I feel like is also the same thing that we said up front about sucking in your bad energy. But I guess that's like, you can use this to clean your person, but also your space. Enhance psychic abilities, particularly, now this is interesting because the way that this episode has gone, particularly the clairs, clairvoyance and clairaudience.
Mm.
So, you know, which clair are you?
Which clair are you?
If you want to get better understanding, if you want to get a firmer grasp on your intuition, to trust your intuition, to, you know, what does Arwen say in Lord of the Rings? You've been gifted the gift of foresight. Which I feel like gifted the gift of is a little
gifted
bit of an oversight.
Gifted the gift
there.
Of is a little bit, it is a little bit of an oversight. You're right.
Huh. And if you want to connect with the angels,
calling on angels,
I feel like I morphed that into another song.
I did.
Hello there. I did. That was the song. Okay. You can use this, connect with angels and spirit guides for guidance and protection. Now, there's also a couple of just properties that I want to rattle off to you that there's not much, you know, there for saying like, hey, this is good for this. This is just properties. Grounding. Anchor to the earth, baby. Courage. Carry this giant chunky rock with you for courage, which, dude, if I had one of these in my fist, I'd be a little bit braver.
I mean, strap it to your knuckles and have some sweet ass, like, chunky knuckles.
Yes, 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 yes. Influence on others. If you're wishing to exert your influence a little bit, this stone can kind of help suck up that influence from you and spit it out onto someone else. It is a good manifestation stone. It is helpful for any kind of positive transformation that you wish to make in your daily life. Maybe that's unhealthy habits that you're wishing to change. And it can help you reconnect with a love.
So it'll help you just reconnect with a love, like a lost love?
Yeah, listen, Macy, I'm telling it to you as I found it.
Because I would almost, at that point, it's like, do I need to lock you up in a cabinet? Because I don't know if I want you to reconnect me to past loves. I don't want to run into them.
I think if you are intentional, use this for.
They're not just going to come knocking on your door.
Yeah. The second you get this, like the next day, you open the door and they're just standing there.
Your DMs. The worst are relationship just, of your DMs life. Are full.
Yeah. Come on. I still think about you.
Gross.
Gross.
Go away.
And to use this as a an emotional balancer within ourselves, this stone promotes self-awareness and self-acceptance, compassion to our inner selves, an eagerness to stay positive or to shift into a positive mindset, and also enhances our mental sharpness, enhances our focus. Helps to kind of put the blinders on if we have a goal in mind, can kind of set us on a laser focus to that. So, listen here. That's Hewlandite.
Wow.
Yeah.
There we go.
Wow.
Wow. At least you said when yours ended. I just kind of tapered off and forgot.
Which is funny because I'm usually the one that does that and you're the one that goes like, are you done?
Today I am my brain is all over the place today. I'm just rolling. I'm just having a roll with it.
I'm excited though.
I'm gonna see one of the patron saints of the coven, Sean James, this evening, and I'm excited about it.
Oh, wow, that came up quick.
Yeah, I know, didn't it? I know, it fucking did.
Wowzers. Give him another bundle and make him curse him for a little while, like you did the first time. You should try to talk to him afterwards and tell him, and then he'll know.
I don't think he'll remember because I don't think I cursed him. But what
I think
did?
You should say, hey, you remember when you got in that string of like bad luck a couple of years ago?
I did that. That was me.
I did that.
No, I'm sorry. It was me.
And then just make eye contact.
Yeah. Yeah. Give him another sticker and then walk away.
Yeah. like flick it in your fingers like it's a business card.
Pick it up.
Bounce it off his forehead. Yeah. God. Oh,
God. No. Dude,
to the podcast? What if he's like, yes, I remember the first time and I began listening. I am a bean.
That made my brain shit itself. To think of anyone saying that to me that I...
.exe.
Could you hear it? I bet you could.
Yeah. You just... Brrr,
stunned silence.
Oh, but listen, guys, Macy, you're going to get to go and have this incredible experience. You're going to get to see this great musician. But listen, tomorrow, you got to come back. You got to come back and talk about Virgin River on SimCap.
I fucking know it. And here's the deal. And this is what's going to be odd is that I'm curious to see the state of mind I'm in because before I have to go get my tattoo finished, so I'll be talking about Virgin River post tattoo, which I feel like is going to be either really resigned and fine with it all or real feisty. We're gonna have to find out.
I'm ready for either.
Yeah.
And if you want to be a part of that, please tune in on Patreon, patreon.com/wabahpodcast. Be a part of our Patreon shout out. There is a private Facebook group where we do monthly live streams and we do two extra episodes a month and you get access to those depending on your tier. But we all know the real shining emerald.
Whoa.
The real shining Emerald, the nice. Emerald in the Rough is the simp cap. It is our season where we are talking Virgin River. And I have so much hate in my heart.
Yeah. It has. It has pumped the hate into my heart.
Yeah.
It will be there for 5 or 4 more weeks. And then we're going to have a fun little Halloween special. We're deciding what that's going to be. But we're going to have a Wimp Cap Halloween special. And that'll be fun because then we'll be done with Virgin River for a little bit, which is great.
You know the song that is synonymous with Twilight? The I will love you. Or what is it? I have loved you for a thousand years. It's like... it's like that, but it's hate.
Yeah, it's hate.
I will hate you for 1,000 more.
Yeah, I got a text from a friend of mine last night that was like, bro, my daughter is watching Virgin River. Like, what the fuck is this season? She was like, because she wrote me, she was like, did you finish it? I was like, oh, I finished it. She's like, what the? It is crazy.
and listen, if you want to know more of our feelings, please go to the Patreon and check that out. And I will just say, dude, I've been looking at some of the actual fans talking about this show, and I agree with a lot of them in that, like, or actually, no, it was somebody I think on our Facebook who said, like, the beginning, this used to be a fun to watch show. Like, you loved to hate it.
Yeah, you know, now it's this just season, gotten insulting.
It feels, but except for the last like 2 episodes of this season, which kind of just makes me be like, oh, okay.
They're insulting in a different way, but in a way at least it's I can recognize.
Okay. Here we go. We're back. We're back to the good shit. Anyway, we have an email address where you can send advertising inquiries if you have a business or a product or anything that you think the beans would be interested in talking about, hearing about. You can also send your spooky sewed stories over there with spooky in the subject line to wabahpodcast@gmail.com. Links to all of the socials are in the show notes description box. I don't know what we're calling it.
I don't know.
And for good measure, let's shout out that P.O. box.
You mean in the old ways?
Yeah.
P.O. Box 865.
Yes. Canton, Texas 75103.
Yep. There it is. Still there. I'm going to go. Still there, still mad. So don't worry about that.
I'm going to go do my Virgin River notes now. So pray for me.
Okay. I'm praying. Good luck.
Good luck, Godspeed, and goodbye.
A little bit of that money, bitch.